This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
DINOVITE.com.
This hour brought to you by A1 Heating and Air. Stay cool and comfy this summer with A1 Heating and Air Conditioning. Visit A1Heating.com.
If you're talking about it...
They don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Welcome to the show. David Allen in for Paul J. today. He will be back with us tomorrow. You and I have had this conversation on the show a couple of times. I think even you and Paul J. have. A time or two also. The British parents of an 11-month-old Charlie Gard, whose illness has damaged his brain and rendered him unable to breathe on his own, have decided against pursuing their controversial efforts to take him to the U.S. for treatment after an assessment from a U.S. doctor. Because the judge in the case was supposed to rule on it tomorrow, I believe. Yeah, tomorrow, Tuesday.
The judge in England.
The judge in England was going to rule on whether the parents could take him out of the hospital and bring him to the United States. A formal decision by a UK judge on the fate of Charlie was expected to be made early this week. I think it was tomorrow. But this choice made by his parents will preemptively end the court proceedings and any possibility of the family transporting Charlie to the U.S. A judge extended an invitation to Dr. Hirano, co-director of the Columbia University Medical Center Muscular Dystrophy Association Clinic and a professor of neurology at Columbia University in New York City, as well as a doctor from the Bambino Gesù Hospital in Rome, to evaluate Charlie's potential readiness for an experimental treatment for his medical condition. The disease is rare and causes muscles to progressively weaken, leading to organ failure. Though he is less than 1 year old, the baby has been on life support for several months.
Right.
Charlie's parents, based upon the assessment of the doctors, have opted not to pursue an oral medicine that aims to improve the function of the mitochondrial DNA.
They were told essentially by an American doctor that it wasn't going to help.
It wasn't going to do him any good in the long run, and they would just be wasting their time and energy.
He's not conscious, you know.
No.
And apparently, according to the doctors, he never is going to regain consciousness or achieve consciousness,
yes.
I guess. And, you know, eventually his organs will fail and he will simply die.
And that's why the hospital wanted to delay any helping. They wanted to turn off life support, saying any delay is just going to cause him more pain and suffering.
In England, they have a National Health Service. And they do occasionally have to make these choices. Now, people, when the Affordable Care Act was first coming into discussion, were talking about death panels.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that, well, you're going to have a group of people deciding whether you should live or die. And while that's not as simple as that, to a certain extent, it is what happens.
Yes.
Because in cases like this where people say, well, you know, I don't care how far gone he is. I want to keep him alive.
He's my baby boy.
Exactly. I mean, that's great. And if you can pay for that, certainly you can do it. But the National Health Service at this point, since this child's, you know, quality of life is never going to be anything except essentially a vegetative state.
Yes.
They said that, well, the fact is we simply cannot continue to give you money for this or pay for this because it's a futile attempt, you know, to basically preserve something that isn't there in the first place. But it's difficult for parents. I mean, how are you supposed to just all of a sudden give up?
Yes, exactly.
Because you know, if this is your own child, and especially if you're religious, you're probably thinking that, you know, any minute now there could be a miracle.
Sure.
And something amazing could happen. And, they finally got a chance to talk to doctors in other countries who simply told them that, this is just, you know, a worst case scenario.
And it's a sad story all around. And I have nothing to base this on, so I'm not starting any controversy. You have to wonder if in the beginning of all of this, if they had been allowed to bring him to the States. I mean, because he's only 11 months old, but for 5 of the 6 months, you know, last five or six months, he's been on this life support system.
Yeah.
And if they could have brought him here at the 5 month mark, if the treatment would have done any kind of good for him, or if he was just the most extreme case where it wouldn't have mattered. Yeah.
Well, it's a very rare case,
yeah,
so chances are nothing would have helped.
If they would have given him this medicine the minute he came out of the womb, it might not have helped him.
However, why would they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I feel sorry for the parents that, you know, they were just trying to do what's best for their family.
Yeah, of course.
And they had to go to court. It just seems strange to me that you can't just say, I know my son's in the hospital. I know it's a lost cause, but he's my son. Yeah, so I would like to take my son out of the hospital.
The fact of the matter is, even though he's on life support, there is still a heartbeat there. And yes. So, you know, we'd like to try something.
But. And I just feel bad for the parents. I feel it's like I say, it's a sad story all the way around, but that's the latest. And you and I had at least two or three different shows where we talked about him.
We did.
I just feel bad. Coming up after the traffic break, we're going to talk about the quote unquote beleaguered Jeff Sessions. 8:44 now at 6.
There's a report of a possible sighting of the man that's wanted in that Canyon County triple homicide case. Details coming up on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. 8:49. David Allen, Chris Walton here with you in the Next Title studio. This is from abcnews.com. President Trump this morning called Attorney General Jeff Sessions beleaguered following his public criticism of Sessions in a recent interview with the New York Times.
That was on Twitter.
as all things Trump are. After 1 year of investigation with zero evidence being found, Chuck Schumer just stated that Democrats should blame ourselves, not Russia, Trump said in a tweet. So why aren't the committees and investigators and, of course, our beleaguered AG looking into crooked Hillary's crimes and Russia relations?
Well, I believe their technical answer is that they did that last year and they didn't find any particular evidence. I know there are plenty of people who would argue with that, but a lot of those people aren't attorneys and didn't, you know, look into it themselves. Yeah. They've just heard a lot of stuff on TV and don't know, you know, the full details. But then again, I'm probably one of those as well. I have not looked into it. For all I know, she committed 1,000 crimes, but I don't know what they are.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, I haven't seen the evidence of Trump either. It's just, you know, you got to decide at some point, you know, who do you believe and who do you not believe? And I've made a lot of choices in that regard over the past few years, especially since the internet came out, you know, who to believe, who not to believe. And I tend to go with the people who, I mean, because they all, every news outlet makes a mistake from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them don't apologize ever. And some of them make, you know, 20 mistakes a week. Some of them do apologize when they make an occasional mistake. I tend to go with those.
I don't trust anybody anymore. I've told you that before.
Yeah, well, and that's fine.
Trump on Saturday slammed.
That could very possibly be the wisest way to go.
What he called a new intelligence leak against Sessions, referring to Washington Post reporting on Friday that Sessions discussed campaign-related matters with Russian ambassador Sergei Kislyak during the campaign. Sessions was one of Trump's early supporters during the presidential campaign.
The first of any of the senators to endorse Donald Trump.
Trump told the Times last Wednesday that he would not have appointed Sessions as attorney general if he knew he would recuse himself from the Russia investigation. He also criticized Sessions for giving some bad answers during his confirmation hearing. This article is from the USA Today today.
Do you think that the president expects, upon hearing these things, that he expects the attorney general to resign? You know, because clearly the president is not happy with the attorney general right now. However, people on Thursday, on Friday, were talking about how they expected Sessions to resign, and he didn't. He simply said, I don't have any intention of resigning. He says, I'm going to do the best job I can, you know, as long as I have this job. And yet every day it seems like the president has something else derogatory to say about him, and which is really not, it's not normal, you know.
Well, it's kind of weird.
Generally, if you have derogatory things to say about someone in your own cabinet, you simply dismiss them.
Yeah, yeah. You don't make it a scene. This is from USA Today today. Forget Russia. I'd fire Jeff Sessions over civil forfeiture. Attorney General Jeff Sessions wants to steal from you. Oh, he doesn't call it that. He calls it civil forfeiture. But what it is theft by law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Sessions should be ashamed. If I were president, he'd be fired.
This is
from an article from
Dwayne
Reynolds.
This is when you are accused of a crime.
Yes.
You may or may not have committed it, but you are accused of a crime. So they essentially take all your stuff and they keep it for an indefinite amount of time.
Yeah. It was originally done, sold as a tool for going after the assets of drug kingpins. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, it seems to be used. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
As is the case in most things involved in law enforcement, it really works well if the person in question is in fact guilty.
Guilty.
If they're not, what you've just done is wrecked somebody's life or, you know, ruined their reputation or whatever, mm-hmm. or simply taken all their stuff and made it impossible for them to live normally.
So it was originally sold as a tool for going after the drug kingpins, but nowadays it seems to be used against a lot of ordinary Americans who just have things that law enforcement wants. It's also a way for law enforcement agencies to maintain off-budget slush funds, thus escaping scrutiny. As drug enforcement agency agent Sean Waite told the Albuquerque Journal, quote, "We don't have to prove that a person is guilty. It's that the money is presumed to be guilty. Presumed to be guilty. Well, once in America, we had a presumption of innocence, but that was inconvenient to the powers that be."
Well, apparently.
The problem is pretty widespread. In 2015, the Washington Post reported that law enforcement took more stuff from people than burglars did. And it's not only a species of theft, it's a species of corruption. Mm-hmm. Starting in 1984, law enforcement agencies were allowed to retain the assets they seized instead of paying them into the general treasury.
See, what they have going for them, and by this I mean law enforcement, is that there half the people out there in the United States think, number one, that that the police would never do anything wrong, and number two, that, well, if this happened to you, you probably did something to deserve it.
Yes.
But that's as far as they go.
Yeah.
And that is not what is in the Constitution.
No.
What is in the Constitution is innocent until proven guilty. And I don't understand why you should forfeit everything you have or a great deal of your possessions or your money or whatever simply on the suspicion that something might be, haywire about it. And because essentially, as you just said, that's presuming guilt where there could be innocence.
Do you see Jeff Sessions lasting the 4 years?
Well, not based on the fact that if the president wants to fire him, he can.
Yes.
And based on the things the president has said about him in the past week, I would say he probably doesn't want him to be the attorney general anymore.
I would think not. And I would think his time in the White House is limited.
Also, there is a report. And of course, this is another one of those reports that has come out where they don't have the name of the person who is the source, except to say that whoever it is works in the White House, but said that they have heard the president talking about replacing Jeff Sessions with Rudy Giuliani, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. That's interesting. I look for a change to come in that office sooner rather than later. I'm not saying today. I'm just saying this week.
Okay.
Coming up after the news, we've got national news coming up.
That's still fairly specific.
That's fairly close, yeah. Then we've got local news with Rick Worthington. We'll talk about Jared Kushner, as he is meeting with the Senate Intelligence Committee today, and he put out a statement this morning about Russia. 8:56, you're listening to 670 KBOI.
This hour brought to you by A1 Heating and Air. Stay cool and comfy this summer with A1 Heating and Air Conditioning. Visit A1Heating.com.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. 9:07 now. David Allen in for Paul J. Chris Walton here. Todd with 1D pushing the buttons. We're going to be discussing all things Jared Kushner here. So 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, or #670 on your Verizon Wireless. Get in early so we can take as many calls as we can. Chris, start us off.
Well, there is an article in the Washington Post, and for those of you who want to consider the source, I would say consider the source. And it's entitled, "Why Jared Kushner is a Central Piece of the Trump-Russia Puzzle." It says, President Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor Jared Kushner testifies before a closed congressional panel investigating Russian interference in the 2016 election and contacts between Russia and Trump campaign officials today. And first of all, he will not be under oath.
Yes.
Now, here's the one thing I want to know about that. I am not an attorney. I do not know the answer to this. But apparently, the reason that they don't swear them in and put them under oath is that way, if later they find out that they were lying, they can't sue them for it or they can't arrest them for it, mm-hmm. I guess, is what it comes down to. However, I don't know what to me, it just seems like what is the point of testifying if you're not under oath? But, you know, maybe I'm alone in that. I don't know.
I was actually surprised when I saw that headline this morning that he wouldn't be under oath. I'm like, well, this is a ridiculous investigation then and testimony today.
Well, and you know, why even make that distinction? You're not under oath. Oh, you mean I don't have to tell the truth?
Exactly.
No, you have to tell the truth. Well, why? I'm not under oath.
Then put me under oath. Exactly.
Yeah, well, it's just an odd thing.
Because that whole oath about do you swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth is kind of huge.
It's like that whole Alford plea, you know. You know, I understand that there's enough evidence to convict me, but I'm going to give you an Alford plea saying
I didn't do anything,
exactly. But I understand that you probably will convict me.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I mean, I get it. I get why that exists. But to me, it's still just strange. Now, President Trump's son-in-law, investigators in Congress have been waiting a long time to talk to Jared Kushner. And he is, of course, the president's son-in-law and one of his top advisors. They will get to do so behind closed doors today and tomorrow. According to his prepared statement, Kushner will say he did not do anything wrong, which we would have assumed anyway. I did not collude nor know of anyone else in the campaign who colluded with any foreign government. The testimony, as obtained by The Washington Post's Philip Rucker, reads, whether he did anything wrong or believes he did anything wrong, Kushner remains a central figure in the broader investigation, and they have an assessment as to why. Number one, he is close to the president, which is obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worth pointing out, given that this White House is particularly indiscriminate about who's in and who's out, Kushner is family and has been one of the president's closest advisors for the past 2 years without fail. Kushner's daily proximity to the president is valuable for investigators as they try to gauge just how deep the Trump and Russia relationships went, if any.
Sure.
Okay. Because I'm not going to convict anybody here until I'm absolutely sure something happened at all. Because a lot of this has just been, everybody keeps saying, well, obviously they did this, obviously they did that. Okay, if it's so obvious, can we have like a quick list of things that prove it is?
I'd like to see the obvious.
Well, I'm not saying it didn't happen or did. I don't know. Number two, he was high up in the campaign. One of Kushner's many campaign jobs was outreach to foreign governments for his father-in-law, because you do that.
Mm-hmm.
He was in that job when, in June 2016, Donald Trump Jr. set up a meeting with a Russian lawyer and a series of other connected Russians to get dirt on Hillary Clinton, according to his emails. And according to those emails, he was also given a heads up that the meeting was part of a Russian government effort to help his father-in-law win. And that was the one that actually Paul Manafort was there as well. Now, mm-hmm. The fact that Kushner and Manafort were there suggests the Trump campaign was taking the meeting with connected Russians seriously, according to Jeffrey Jacobovitz, who is a white-collar lawyer who represents officials in the Clinton White House. And it all, again, consider the source. And it also suggests that far from raising red flags about potential Russian intervention, the Trump campaign may have embraced their help. And, you know, there are plenty of people who are on both sides of that. They say, okay, yeah, those emails indicate that somebody had told them they were going to a meeting to obtain information, apparently from a Russian, about Hillary Clinton. And is that good or is that bad? Well, if the Russian comes forward and says, here's the information, and it's not fake information, it's like, here's something that we have a record that, you know, that Hillary Clinton was doing with Russia. I can't really see why that would be an illegal thing. On the other hand, there are people who look at it and say, well, you know, if they were being told we're about to have a meeting, where some Russians have some dirt on Hillary Clinton, why didn't they invite the FBI also to come to the meeting?
Yeah.
Or at least in the person of somebody undercover for the FBI. And again, I don't know the answer to all those questions or what in this particular case is supposed to be ethical.
Yes.
Because to me, I mean, I think you can make a pretty good argument either way. And speaking of the FBI, the third reason is he is a focus of the FBI's broad investigation. Investigators are focusing on a series of meetings held by Jared Kushner. And as part of their probe into Russian meddling, Kushner is the only member of the inner circle, Trump's inner circle, that special counsel Robert Mueller and his team are zeroing in on as they investigate Russian meddling and potential financial crimes or whatever it is that they're investigating.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know exactly what the FBI is looking into with regard to Kushner because they're the FBI. They don't give us a play-by-play. They just do what they do. We do know that right around the time Kushner held a meeting with the Russian ambassador, Kislyak, last spring, the CIA director started to notice that Russians were talking about actively, aggressively trying to influence the U.S. presidential election, and they know this because they surveilled them.
Yes.
Okay. They bug their phone calls and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The CIA does it, the FBI does it, and they have said, and just because two Russians were talking about it doesn't necessarily mean it happened.
No.
Okay, but that's what they do. They overhear information about Americans, and although they generally redact that information and don't publicly put it out there, for the most part, they do check into it
mm-hmm.
if they hear stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like for instance, like if I'm an American, you can't listen to my phone call, but if two Russians talk about me, you can listen to that.
Yes.
The fourth reason, he's had meetings with Russians that he didn't disclose. And, of course, that was true of Sessions and several other people. Now, I can give you the excuse both ways. Number one, when they ask you if you've had meetings with Russians, you should be able to pick up your appointment book and say, okay, I had five meetings with, you know, Russians.
Yes.
And it could be absolutely nothing. And, in fact, if you say it that way, they might decide, yeah, it must have been absolutely nothing mm-hmm. because he disclosed all of them.
Yeah.
On the other hand, when you say I had absolutely no meetings with Russians, and then later you come back and say, oh, I forgot I had two meetings with Russians, and then later, well, turns out I had six meetings with Russians, all of a sudden people say, well, why didn't you just tell us that in the first place? So that's why there's a little back and forth on this.
Especially if they say, well, I'm telling you now.
On the other hand, these people are not like me. They do a different thing for a living. These people have meetings every day, sometimes several meetings a day. And if they tell me they can't remember every meeting, and I know that I have like three meetings a year and I can't remember every meeting, so I'm gonna give them the benefit of the doubt on that as well.
I wouldn't be surprised if you could forget a lot of your meetings.
Yeah.
So,
and very quickly here, the fifth reason is that he has said he's willing to cooperate, and believe it or not, when people are willing to cooperate, the FBI likes to hear from them.
Yes, they do.
However, he may simply be cooperating and saying, well, I don't have anything to tell you. And if that's the case, this could be over faster than you know.
All right. Hank in Boise, hang on. We'll get you here in a second. 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon Wireless. What do you expect to come today for Jared Kushner in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee? 916 now at 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
921 KBOI rewards code Kushner. 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 Go to KBOI.com, enter the keyword Kushner, get your 5,000 rewards points. Also, a redacted transcript of today's Intelligence Committee hearing. Hank in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today, sir?
Good morning. It amazes me how they make such a big deal about all this when getting off information or dirt on an opponent in a political campaign is nothing unusual. And I imagine that Hillary's asked, you know, and of course, no questions were asked about the Ukrainian information given to Hillary. That's permissible.
No, actually, but it's not. They have asked a lot of questions about that. I think they're just not doing that right now because they sort of dismissed that eventually. But the reason that this is unusual simply is because they feel like the Russians they've been a little too involved in the election, and they just want to find out whether they really were or not. Now, and this doesn't even necessarily mean that anybody is suspected of being a criminal, with the exception probably of the Russians themselves.
Well, it's the implication the Washington Post and the New York Times and the rest of and CNN and the rest of the mainstream dogs basically are trying to imply that Trump is involved in criminal activity. And on top of that, it really seems strange to me that there's no question. Why would the Russians, for one thing, be interested in supporting Trump when he's going to, for one thing, going to increase oil production and energy production in his country. Well,
okay, but see, that's one thing out of a lot of different possibilities. And the reason that people are focusing in on this is simply because the Trumps and several of them have had a lot of dealings with Russia. And if there are some people that Trump has dealt with as an international businessman, and I know this happens, and you're not necessarily guilty just because someone you've dealt with is guilty of something, if they are, but he has dealt with banks outside the country that have had suits against them and have been accused of money laundering. And what they want to find out, because money laundering is a big thing in real estate, it's a big thing in casinos, it's a big thing in hotels, they want to find out whether or not, Trump had any dealings in money laundering. Now, they don't necessarily think that he did, but they would like to find out. And if that's the case, that could be a reason why Russia wants him to be president or wanted him to be president, because Putin, apparently, this is the way he operates. He tries to get the dirt on somebody and then help them get into office so then he can say, okay, now that you're in office, here's what I'm going to do. And they just want to make sure that that isn't what's going on with the U.S. It's not a matter of who won the election, because clearly Trump won the election and that's all there is to that. But what they are trying to find out is simply if there was anything going on because Putin had an interest in who was the next president of the United States.
Well, there's more dirt that he could have on the Clintons, with the uranium deal and whatnot. I mean, he could blackmail the Clintons potentially to his heart's content because they're up to their eyeballs in the Russian.
With the possible exception, though, of the Hillary Clinton is not the president, so that's they're not terribly concerned with that.
Yeah, nobody would. But if she was president, nobody would be interested. And what were
that's true. If she had won the election, nobody would be interested in what Trump's doing at all.
Well, they wouldn't be interested in collusion with the Russians, period. The mainstream media wouldn't touch it. There wouldn't be any implication. And you can imagine Comey would be licking her side and saying there's nothing wrong with what Hillary did with the Russians.
I mean, you can imagine that. I don't know that would be true.
All right, and thanks for the call. And I don't know that that's true or not true. I don't know if Hillary had won, if there would be no investigation into Russian hacking.
Well, and the thing is, these are different investigations. People act like the mainstream media, and the thing is, mainstream media is a weird term anyway, because I've read the exact same.
With Paul J. and Chris, Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
9:37, this portion of the show, sponsored by Sweet Deals. This week's Sweet Deal is a $56 certificate to Prism Escape for only $28.
See, I've always kind of wanted to do one of those things.
I know. I think it'd be pretty cool.
It's like you're in a room and you have to figure out clues in order to get out of it. It's kind of a neat thing. Yeah.
Idaho's newest and most dynamic escape room experience. Their current room theme is Heist and will run from now till mid-September. To plan your escape, Friday morning at 9, head to KVOI.com, click on the Sweet Deals link to get this amazing offer.
Got a few instant messages here.
All right.
Let's see, Lee, or possibly Terry. Actually, it is Terry, who apparently knows Lee, wrote in to say, regarding answering questions during interviews, politicians have learned to be very careful, and we must learn to listen to their every word with care, too. For example, Trump and his staff have often stated that they held no meetings, i.e. a formal gathering, with members of Putin's Russian staff, but possibly they spoke with other people from Russia about the 2016 campaign, but possibly they spoke about other matters. And I understand what you mean, because Al Franken points out that he asked Jeff Sessions during the confirmation hearings, when he was going to be the attorney general, he asked him if he'd met with any Russians. And what Jeff Sessions said is, I did not have any meetings during the campaign with Russians, about the campaign, to which Al Franken said after a while, he says, well, that's not even really what I asked him. But I understand that. You kind of answer the question that you think they're going after. So it says, so if Trump or a Trump staffer has spoken briefly, not in a formal meeting with any person from Russia, and solely about the weather or the economy and not at all about the 2016 campaign, then that person, Trump or his staff member, has not lied about speaking with Putin or his staff about the campaign. See? Yeah, I do see that. I absolutely see that. The problem here, as I said, I think it's even in the wording of things, because, did you have any meetings with Russians? and did you ever talk to a Russian ambassador anywhere are different questions. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true. It's just, like I said, I don't necessarily think that anybody's lying about anything, and I'm not going to accuse anybody of that. And then Terry followed that up with, and it's not lying if Trump or his staffer does not list a brief encounter, which included no talk about the 2016 campaign when they submit to the Senate or FBI a list of meetings with Russians about the 2016 campaign. Okay, exactly. Now, all of that having been said, I will say this. I have interviewed tons of politicians over the last, basically the last 34 years is about how long I've been doing this. I have interviewed a ton of politicians on all sides of the spectrum. And there are some who measure every word very carefully. And there are others who will simply speak from the heart and tell you what's on their mind. And they're very open about everything. I've always preferred the ones that are open about everything, because if you're being a little too careful, I always kind of wonder why. And it's exactly what the president said, you know, when he was talking about why don't the states want to give up this information on voters. You know, I can understand that, too. I mean, that's, you know, I don't think people like to be told to give up information on anything if they don't have to. But he said, you've got to wonder what are they hiding? However, you know, people have said the same thing about him and not releasing his tax returns, et cetera, et cetera. So just because somebody says they don't want to give you some information or, you know, don't want to answer a question doesn't mean necessarily that what you're looking for is what they're trying to avoid, you know, giving you. It could be anything. It could be a completely, you know, unrelated reason. However, like I said, just naturally, I'm a little bit suspicious of the people who have a hard time answering a question without thinking about it first, as opposed to just telling me, oh, well, here's the way, you know, that's, here's my opinion on that, blah, blah, blah. But on the other hand, some people are considerably guarded, even if they have nothing to hide.
Sure.
And some people aren't.
Yeah. I mean,
some people aren't, even if they do have something to hide.
A lot of people measure every word very carefully.
Which I think is why a lot of people are actually in jail.
Probably. I wanted to talk a little bit about this, the smuggling tragedy over the weekend. Because the people in
the truck at the Walmart parking lot in Texas, yeah.
A suspect arrested in connection with the deaths of 10 people. The death toll, by the way, has gone up to 10 now. A 10th died this morning. Packed into a broiling tractor trailer, arrived in court this morning to be charged for his alleged role in the immigrant smuggling attempt gone wrong. Federal prosecutors said they plan to bring charges against James Matthew Bradley Jr., 60, of Clearwater, Florida. Mm-hmm. They would not immediately confirm he was the driver of the rig, although local authorities said over the weekend that the driver was arrested. Authorities discovered 8 bodies inside the crowded 18-wheeler parked outside a Walmart in the summer heat, and a 9th victim died at the hospital.
Well, and there were
and a,
what?
Another
what,
victim.
And there were like 24 other people
24
in there.
24 just escaped.
Well, yeah, but there were something like 24 other people in there who were, you know, having heat stroke and stuff like
yes.
that, but just hadn't died.
Yeah, so those are the ones that died, and then at least 20 were rescued from the truck, were in dire condition, many suffering from extreme dehydration and heat stroke. This morning, the lieutenant governor of Texas has blamed the deaths on sanctuary cities. In a Facebook post on Sunday, Dan Patrick, not the sportscaster, but the lieutenant governor of Texas, said if it wasn't for sanctuary cities, which refused to work with the federal government in deporting illegal immigrants, the tragedy in San Antonio would never have happened.
Quote, well, and his reasoning there has to be that if they didn't think there was a way they could get away with this and that there were people that would help them, then they wouldn't have tried it in the first place.
Yes, exactly.
Now, I don't know that that's necessarily true, but I can see where he's coming from.
Sanctuary cities, this is a quote from that. Sanctuary cities entice people to believe they can come to America and Texas and live outside the law. Sanctuary cities also enable human smugglers and cartel. Today, these people paid a terrible price and demonstrate why we need a secure border and legal immigration reform so we can control who enters our country.
Now, the opposite of that would be, and this actually would prove his point, the opposite of that is, why don't people sneak into North Korea?
Yeah.
Because they will kill you.
You're going to be killed there.
Exactly.
So, and last night, when I was catching up on the news, I was watching the ABC News.
Right.
And they had this story. It led the story. And they just kept saying, this truck filled with immigrants, this truck filled with immigrants, the truck filled with immigrants.
Yeah.
I'm like, why aren't you saying the word?
Well, illegal aliens, whatever you want to say. You know, I don't worry so much about it. But quite often, and it's just like Terry said in that email, quite often you have to listen to the exact wording that people use, mm-hmm. especially if those people are very careful about what they say. Now, I'm not that careful sometimes about the way I word things, which is why sometimes I'll say immigrants, sometimes I'll say illegal immigrants, sometimes I'll say illegal aliens, sometimes I'll just say illegals, sometimes I'll just say aliens.
Yeah.
And people think I'm talking about E.T. or something.
Roswell.
But quite often all I'm talking about is somebody who came into the country not according to the American law. And that's all there is to that.
Do you agree with Lieutenant Governor on this? If there weren't sanctuary cities, if it wasn't deemed...
No, before
to be less of a flight risk.
I wouldn't because this sort of thing happened before there were sanctuary
sure.
cities. Now, I do agree that if this country were completely hardcore about immigration and, you know, and the funniest thing, I mean, this is the weirdest part of it. The most hardcore administration we ever had when it came to deporting illegals was the Obama administration. They deported more illegals than anybody.
Yep.
And yet everybody seems to think that Obama was the one that kind of fostered all of this, and maybe his attitudes toward socialism and things like that helped it along. However, it's not like the Obama administration stopped working, you know, on the Immigration Service. And my wife used to work for the Immigration Service years ago, and she told me about this. She says, people don't have any idea how many people get deported out of this country. Mm-hmm. It's millions of them.
Oh, sure.
Because they see people that they've known that have lived here for several years that are here illegally, and they say, well, how come nobody ever gets deported? Well, what you're asking is how come that person didn't get deported?
Yeah. 946. Yep. Take more of your calls next. You're listening to 670 KBOI.
There's a report of a possible sighting of the man that's wanted in that Canyon County triple homicide case. Details coming up on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
951-336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. Let's go to the phones. Pro-Life, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today, sir?
I'm very good. You know, the Texas Lieutenant Governor, when he said that... sanctuary cities were responsible for this.
Mm-hmm.
He could have just been kind of talking loosely, or maybe he interviewed, maybe his people, the Texas law enforcement people, had interviewed some of the people that survived, and they said, yeah, we were all promised we'd be taken to a sanctuary city.
You know, that's a good point, because it's not like they were dropped off right across the border. They were in San Antonio.
Right, and they were headed to maybe a sanctuary city. So maybe he knows what he's talking about. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. I know he posted it on Facebook yesterday when they were still doing the investigation, because that came out on Sunday.
Yeah.
But again, he might have already been in contact with law enforcement officials and gotten that news.
Yeah. Now, say if I was a person smuggler in Mexico and people came to me and said, we want to go to the United States, I'd be the salesman that would say, well, listen, if you give me $5,000, I'll make sure our truck delivers you to a sanctuary city. So, I mean, it's very, very possible that that's the case. So that's all I'm saying. But I think the border needs to be totally secured, you know.
Yeah.
100% agree. Thanks, Perloff. I appreciate the call.
You know what? And I wonder what the going price for that sort of thing is anyway. Because, you know, he just said $5,000. It occurs to me that if you have $5,000 and live in Mexico, you'd probably want to stay in Mexico, maybe.
Here's the thing. I bet it costs the illegals who want to come here more than whoever is getting that money pays the truck driver to drive them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you get 100 people who pay $500 each,
mm-hmm.
so you got your $5,000 there.
Yeah,
and the truck driver's only going to get maybe $2,000
like
to drive them across.
And like yourself, my guess would be the person who gets most of the money is not the one taking most of the risk.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you're going to find out this 62-year-old guy from Florida is not the mastermind behind that illegal immigrant. He's just a truck driver, and he's going to say that. And I don't know, are they going to just charge him with people smuggling?
That's a good question.
They can't charge him for the murders, can they? Or the deaths?
Well, they may.
Yeah, might be involuntary manslaughter.
Because when it comes right down to it, this is the individual who closed the back of the truck, right?
And left it in the hot San Antonio sun. And he walked away.
And there you go.
Yeah. So, yeah, it could be man one, I mean, man two, who knows?
We know very well that if somebody leaves a baby in a hot car and the baby dies, they certainly charge them with murder.
And just because the people in the back of your truck are illegal doesn't mean you just leave them there to roast.
Yeah. Quickly here, Gary of Emmett says, Kushner can get in trouble for lying to Congress. There are laws about that. Kushner is also one of the Democrats who President Trump brought with him. He is pro-Paris Climate Accord. He would also likely get a pardon for anything he might have done, and the White House has already explored pardons. The legacy Democrats President Trump has within his inner circle might be the source of many of the leaks. If close associates are opposed to you and see you enacting policies conflicting with their beliefs, they might try to block them any way they can. I have to admit, I do not think of Kushner as a Democrat.
I don't either.
Considering he's, you know, Trump's son-in-law.
And sometimes when you ask a question, it gets answered right away. Truck driver was charged with illegally transporting immigrants on Monday as the death toll rose to 11. He could face the death penalty on charges filed a day after eight bodies were discovered in the sweltering back of his big rig.
I think we know what we're talking
about. So now we at least have that information.
And Dave Aboyce says, where was all this nonsense with the prior presidential elections? Oh, believe me, there was plenty. Anybody that has half a brain knows that what is happening now has always happened. Okay, first of all, I caution people against saying that anybody with half a brain knows that. Because I know you're being sarcastic, but some people might.
Some people might not actually know exactly. Yeah. So,
and this is the only difference is that President Trump is not a politician, and the politicians don't like that. It is as simple as that. Nothing is as simple as that, but I understand where you're going.
Yeah, I get the point, too, but yeah, nothing in Washington is ever that simple.
Like I like to say, life is complicated. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. Rush Limbaugh comes up next, followed by Michael Savage, then Nate Shellman, back from vacation. You're listening to 670 KBOI.